pray that the Lord might touch us as we look into the book of 2 Corinthians. Look at a little subject, a little thought tonight. I pray that the Lord might have His will, His way in our heart, and He might get the glory and the praise. Amen. Good to be back, isn't it? Amen. Appreciate it. It hadn't been long, but I'm glad you're back tonight at the house of God. We're going to use our Bible a little more tonight, or at least about what we did this morning. I pray that God will touch us. It's the Word of God that makes a difference in my life, makes a difference in your life. And I pray that the Lord tonight might give us exactly what we stand in great need of tonight. So in 2 Corinthians, you'll stand and let's read it, the sixth chapter, chapter number 6 of the book of 2 Corinthians. These Corinth believers, they had problems, and 2 Corinthians seemed to straighten out a lot of it. But anyhow, he said in verse 11, chapter 6, he said, "O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels," it said. And he goes on to say, "Now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged." He said, "Be ye," notice this, "be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" Now, Belial's another word for Satan, for Lucifer. "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You can be seated. And let's pray together. Father, give us divine wisdom tonight. Lord, I pray you'd open our minds of understanding, and may we receive what we hear. I pray, God, that we tonight might get the understanding from heaven, but I pray, God, we'd receive what we hear. Lord, we'd take it to heart, apply it to our life, that we might be different when we leave this building. Lord, we might walk in the precepts of the Word of God, and not according to what we'd like to do, not according to what the flesh loves, but that which the inner man, the inner man, the spiritual man, the heavenly man that's on the inside of us, God, might be able to walk like you'd have us to tonight. We'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We commit it all to you. Open our minds and open our hearts and open our mouth. God, for your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the last couple of weeks, last Sunday we dealt with, I believe it was last Sunday, that we dealt with false doctrines and false teachers and false believers and those tonight that were trying to twist and warp the minds of the people of God. We talked about John. If you remember, John was against that. He talked about, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they are of God or not." Now, John taught that and preached it. So did Peter, and so did Paul, and we just touched a little bit on it. Now, this morning, we dealt with another subject. We dealt, on assurance of salvation, being sure of your salvation. And I'd like to add this to the message that I preached this morning. I'll lift it off, and I didn't really leave it off. The Holy Spirit didn't get me into it. But let me just say this tonight, that to be able to have that assurance as a Christian, and everybody in this building has weak moments. We have weak times. Amen. Sometimes I feel like I'm so saved, it's pitiful. Amen. I feel like sometimes I'm so saved that I could fight 15 devils. But then sometimes I get up in the morning and I don't feel so good saved. But I'm glad I'm not operating by feelings. I'm operating by faith. Amen. I feel more saved sometimes than I do others. But the fact is, I'm just as much saved as I'll ever be. Amen. It's how my faith is, whether it's weak or strong. Now, to be able to stay where you've got that blessed assurance in your heart and life 24/7, I mean every day of your life, the rest of it, you've got to do some things. Number one, you've got to stay in the Word of God. You stay close and in the Word of God and you'll have fellowship with the Lord. You see, when the Scriptures are open to you, and when you're reading the Scriptures are speaking to you. And they are talking to you. And as long as you're staying in the Scriptures, you're staying in a spiritual mind, in a spiritual framework, and it's not hard, amen, if you're saved by the grace of God, it's not hard then to get that blessed assurance. The second thing that you've got to do is make sure that you pray. If you don't talk to the throne of God, you don't talk at the throne of God, or you don't talk to the Lord at the throne of God, amen, you tonight will grow cold and weak, amen. When you stay in fellowship with the throne of God and you keep His communion and His fellowship at hand, brother, you can have that blessed assurance. You just let somebody or something get you away from the throne of God, and I'll assure you tonight, you'll grow cold, and it won't be long till you'll just begin to wonder about your salvation, and the devil put question marks in there. Amen. And then the third thing is you need to make sure you keep your worship correct. Stay with the throne of God, stay with the Lord, and worship Him, and give Him thanks and praise and glory and honor. You do them three things, and it'll be easy if you are saved to realize that you are and to have that blessed assurance. Amen. I didn't say that to keep you saved. Faith keeps you saved. Amen. Trusting and believing the Lord Jesus Christ keeps you saved, but it gets it before your mind. I didn't mention that this morning. Now, the main thing, four major things, I'm just going to touch one tonight, but the main thing in everybody's life is salvation. Knowing that you're birthed into the family of God is the most important thing. Some folks are saved, but they're not sure they are saved. But it's blessed when you know, as we was talking about this morning, to know that you're saved. The second thing, after salvation, God wants us to do is to get the place of separation. Separation, we need to separate from some things in this life, and that's what I'm going to preach on tonight, separation. And you can call it sanctification if you want to, or a degree of sanctification. And God wants us sanctified. Now, sanctified just simply means that we belong to Him, and He makes us His property when we're saved. We belong to Him. Amen. Sanctified just means that God has set us apart to use us for His glory and His honor. Some other time I'm coming back and we're going to talk about not only salvation, we have talked about that, and then separation tonight, but we're going to talk about service. Brother, there's a reason we ought to be doing some things, and there's a service tonight, and God wants us to get into that. Some of us have been saved, some of us have separated from the world to a certain degree, but many of us are not serving Him. Amen. And so we fall short. That's how we win people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're sitting idly by. Sitting upon, as the Bible said, upon our leaves. And people are dying and going to hell all around us. But tonight I want to talk about separation. I want us to look at this, if we will. Back in chapter number 6, we're going to look at these Scriptures. And I pray that the Lord might touch us. Amen. I'll just hold that place for a minute. And I want us to go over into the book of 1 John. We're going into the book of 1 John. When we get into 1 John tonight, I want us to go down in the Word of God into it, and I want us to see what we want to find in chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. There's some things that we need to separate from. Amen. Number one, and you can jot this down, we need to separate from the world. The Bible said in 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 15, love not the world. Now you've got to remember this one thing. I'm in the world and you're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. Amen. We are pilgrims and strangers passing through. And I'm in the world in that respect. But I am not building, amen, me a home, amen, in this world. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger. I got a better place to go. And I want to say tonight that I won't to get the place that I don't care too much and I don't love the world. Amen. Most of us, if we'll be honest tonight, love the world too much already. We've seen the world take its effect upon our life. We've seen it affect everything that we do. He said, love not the world, neither. Notice this, neither. Or that means he's adding to it, the things that are in the world. We're not to love the world, nor the things of the world. He said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Why is that? God wants us to give him our first love and all our love. Amen. We are to seek his face. We are to seek his righteousness. We are to seek his kingdom. We are to seek the things of God. And we are to put him first. The first and foremost commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, strength, mind, and body. I mean, with everything you've got. And the second one is like this, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we look at this, and we see the Word of God tonight. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, what the flesh desires, and the lust of the eyes, what the eyes look at and behold and see and desire, and the lust of, and the pride of life, that's, amen, pride, amen, it gets in there, you know, our prestige and popularity, and so is not of the Father, but is of the what? World. Now God said we're not to love that. We're not to desire that. Verse 17 said, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Number one, God says not to love this rotten world. That's what he says. We want to look at some more things out of the book of 1 John here. In 1 John chapter number 3. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. The Bible said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, amen, now we're called the sons of God. What manner of love He's put on us. Hey, you can't be loved any better than how God loves you. You can't be loved any more by anybody or anything than God loves you tonight. You can't, amen, I'm glad of that. God can't love me any more than He loves me tonight. Amen. His love will not increase anymore. He loves me with a holy divine love to the maximum tonight. Amen. He does. And I may grow closer to some and love somebody even better and more each passing day. But God's love will not increase because God is love. Amen. That ought to make you shout. Praise God, just to know that God loves you. Amen. And He can't love you anymore. He loves you to the max. He said, therefore, He said, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. He says, love not the world. Why should we not love the world? Because the world didn't love Him. Because the world rejected Him. The world said, crucify Him. Give us Barabbas. The world said, we don't want Him. Get rid of this Jew and crucify Him. Put Him on the cross. Get rid of Him. Get Him out of our presence. And the world hates Him and despised Him. And they crucified Him. And the Lord said, love not the world. Don't you love that world that hates and despises Him. Alright, let's look at another verse of Scripture here. In chapter 3 and verse number 13. The Bible said in chapter 3 verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, talking to the saints of God, if the world hates you. I mean, don't get amazed. Don't marvel. Don't get upset. Don't get distraught. If the world don't hate you, it's because you have not shown the world that you love Christ. If you love Christ, the world will hate you. They'll hate you for Christ's sake. It's not because they don't like and your looks and so forth. But when you lift up the Lord Jesus and exalt Him to the high measure in your life, this world looks at you and said, I do not like you, because they don't like Christ. This world don't like Christ. Listen, you talk about things around in our world's in a mess. Amen. It's in terrible shape. Brother, we talk about the leaders of the land. They don't know which way they're going. They don't know what they're doing. Listen, they don't know God. I'm going to tell you tonight, we love Him because He first loved us. Glory to God. And brother, I want you to know tonight the world cares less for you. Less and less every single day. In 1 John chapter number 4, looking in the 4th chapter, look at verse number 3. The Bible said, in every spirit, we was on this the other day, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus has come, or Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Now notice the rest of that verse. And even now already is it in the world. Another reason we're not to love the world is because the spirit of Antichrist dwells in this world. This world's against Him. Anything's against Christ and against God and against the Word. We ought to separate from it and get out of it tonight. Amen. Brother, you talk about the world, I despise it, don't you? I say I'm just a pilgrim and stranger passing through. But notice something else. The Bible said in verse number 4, He said, ye are of God. Hey, we're not of the world. We're of God. We're not of Satan. We're of God. Ain't you glad I know you know tonight and I know that we're on the right side? You're on God's side and God's on yours. Hey, I'll tell you right now, He's going to tell you what's going on in your life. He said, you're of God, little children, and have what? Overcome them. Amen. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is where? In the world. Praise God. I want to tell you something. I've got something greater than what's in the world. The world has flashing lights. It has an attraction. It's got a magnetic, if you will, sinful magnetic pull to every man, woman, boy and girl that walks upon it. It draws, it pulls, it deceives, it lures. The world despises the things of God and He tries to get you off the beaten path, get you out of the Word of God, keep you out of the house of God. Amen. Get you out there and hug you up. That's what the world does. It wants you to be happy. It wants you to be comfortable in the world. But a child of God can't be comfortable in the world. Amen. You're a misfit. Did you know that tonight? Amen. You go back to the old things you used to do, you wouldn't be happy with it if you're saved by the grace of God. Amen. They wouldn't even like you either. You go out where you used to go to the people you used to live and hang around, and you start talking about Jesus all the time, they'll find a getting off place with you. You said, I'm just going to give up my friends. You just take on Jesus and your friends are shed off like a bunch of flies. Say amen right there. Amen. Because the world's not comfortable with you and you're not comfortable with the world. And tonight if you say you're saved by the grace of God and you love the world and you're comfortable with the world and the things of the world tonight, I'm going to tell you there's something wrong with your spiritual life. You're either backslid or lost. One of the two. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you're backslid, it ain't going to be long. God's going to put the lash on you and He'll put you in a premature grave if He has to. Amen. Somebody said, I believe a Christian can do anything you want to. Sure, you can do anything. You just may not get to do it long. I got problems with some of my family members. We'll talk about that again a little bit, maybe, but I want to tell you, I got some problems with my family members. I'm not talking about my immediate family, but I got some people out there, they say they got saved 40 years ago, hadn't been to church, but at weddings and funerals. Amen. They won't go to church. They don't like the things of God. But they'll tell you they're saved. They live like the devil. Live like the world. Look like the world. Smell like the world. Act like the world. And proud to be in the world. I want to tell you something. They either missed it. And I'll say this. I don't believe they're backslid. I believe they're lost. The reason I say I believe they're lost is if I tried it a few times. I went back on God a time or two. And God put the lash on my back. God come a walking, amen, and God come a talking. And brother, when God rattles a chain, you don't have to, and it gets tight, you don't have to ask who's on the other end, you know. Brother, God knows how to bring us in. So I look at this, and we'll see the world hates Him. Let me give you another verse or two. In verse number 5. Of chapter 4. He said, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. But He said, we're of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God teaches us tonight that the world, they don't know Christ. They don't know God. They don't love God. They don't want God. But there's something different about us tonight. We desire Him. Now, go to 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. The Bible said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. That's another reason tonight that we're to come out with. Listen, we're more than overcomers. We've overcome the world. How we overcome it? Through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. That's the agents God uses tonight to keep us out of the world and make us overcome the world. He says, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. Overcometh even what? Our faith. Amen. Now don't you go bragging about all the faith you've got. Amen. I used to brag about faith. I used to say, praise God, I got faith, believe in this, and I believe that, and I believe in the other. But the Bible said if we had the faith of a grain, or you know, our faith is in size-wise, if we could measure it, look at it, and if our faith was as a grain of mustard seed, it real small. If our faith was the size of a grain of mustard seed, we could say to the mountain, be you removed, and be removed. Amen. And you said, preacher, I got faith. I wouldn't brag too big. I wouldn't get up on too big a limb. It might break. You'll hit the ground. Faith! Faith! God wants us to have faith tonight. But I'll tell you this. I read in the Word of God, Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He gave me the faith to believe. So what faith I have tonight has been procured from the throne of God. He's given me the faith to believe. I was lost and undone and on my way to hell. And one day God gave me enough faith to believe in His name and on His name. And through His name, brother, I got birthed into the family of God. My sins were washed away. And it's His faith. So I have no faith but what He's given me tonight. And brother, when I brag about my faith, I don't have much. Amen. It's His faith. Amen. I'll tell you, I'm in Him and He's in me. I want you to know that tonight. So we're just talking about getting rid of the world. Getting rid of the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. The Bible said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. So therefore, come out from among that world. The Bible tells us again, love not the world. Now going back to our text tonight in 2 Corinthians, we're going back to this. We need, first of all, to separate from the world. Secondly, we need to separate from unbelievers. Now, when I say unbelievers tonight, I don't want you to take this to the wrong step. I do not tonight believe that we ought to forsake and do not have any association with unbelievers. I believe tonight, as Jesus said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. I believe tonight that we're to go to the lost, to all four corners of the earth, and preach the gospel to every man, woman, boy and girl, to every creature, preach the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have that commission. We have that command. We have that charge from the throne of God. That's what the Lord left His disciples in charge of. But I want to tell you tonight, there's some things in the world that we need to be careful about and some unbelievers. So the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. We ought not to hobnob with. I've always preached down through the years that you ought not to be in business with them. You ought to be business partners. You cannot. I'll tell you right now, if I was going to have a business, and I done been in this thing a long time, and I was going to have a partner in business, I really don't know what in the world I'd do. Probably wouldn't have a business. Because I certainly couldn't trust the world, and I couldn't trust unbelievers. And after 50 years of working in the church, it's hard to even trust Christians. Say amen. And so I would have a hard time going in partnership with anybody. Amen. Now, if you had the real Christian to go into partnership with, fine and dandy. But I'm telling you, most of the time, it's not that way. And some of the times I've had more trouble and I'll be honest with you, I've had more trouble out of Christian, so-called Christian people to church than I have of unbelievers in the world. But I don't hobnob with them. Amen. I'll tell you, we'll talk about that in just a minute and get us to the place where we ought to be. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see, you can't have fellowship How can you have fellowship if righteousness is on this side and unrighteousness? You know what unrighteousness is? It's the opposite of righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Right living. If you've got somebody living right and somebody's not living right, and they're your friends, it ain't going to be long. I hear these people say, well, I tell you right now, I'm just going to hobnob with them because I'm going to win them to God. It won't work. I've seen saved people marry unsaved people, vice versa. Amen. I've seen that. And I've heard them say, well, I'll just win them over. I found out down through the years what happens. It goes in the opposite direction. Usually always goes in the opposite direction. And it said here, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but you know what happens if we turn the lights off back there? It wouldn't be completely dark, but it'd be darker than it is now. And when you flip the light on back there, just as quick as light comes in, darkness runs. Amen. And the Bible said you can't have fellowship with light and darkness. You just can't do it. And so He tells us here that we ought to be careful. You cannot run with Christ on one side and the devil on the other. You cannot do it. Or you can't have a part with an infidel. Amen. You cannot do that. And so God says, come out from among them friendships and those unbelievers out there. Now I want to tell you something. You better watch unholy friends. They may call you a friend and you may think they're your friend. But an unholy friend will stab you in the back down the road. Unholy friends is somebody tonight in the church that you should not be dealing with. Amen. You go sit down on Saturday night eating devil's food cake and donut holes and cups of coffee and talk about the church and talk about the preacher. It won't be long, brother. You're going to be in a mess. Amen. I'll tell you what, anybody want to say anything against the house of God and do anything against the house of God, you ought to right then mark them off. Amen. Because God is not in it. I'm here to tell you. I've seen it time and time again. And we go on to look at this. Anytime you've got unholy friends, leave them alone. You know what's wrong to a lot of our children tonight? They're running with unholy friends. I tried to watch my children when they were coming up. Amen. I didn't let them. Tried not to. And it's hard to keep them from. It's amazing how your children will love the ones that are the most unholy. It's amazing how it's just like they're drawn to it. You know why? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life still around. And that's why they like that. And so you got to watch their friendships, unholy friendships. Secondly, you got to watch unholy family. Amen. I've got some family members tonight I can't associate with. They think I'm crazy. And I let them think what they want to think. Oh, they're upset. I've got some who won't come to church. Here's family. They got upset at me because we wouldn't put a Christmas tree in the church. I mean, what about that? I mean, won't even have a Christmas tree in the house of God. Now, you can crucify me for that if you want to. But I don't back up on it. Amen. Not the place for it. I mean, they'll get upset because of certain things I won't let them do. I mean, they're upset at me because we can't even have a fellowship or get together at my house or their house, either one. Because I want to say, hey, when you got to go suck a cigarette, go outside. You don't do it in my house. Amen. So they don't come to see me. Well, that's just unholy family. And do what they want to. And they talk about the other things that we stand for. That's all right. Sometimes you have to do that. Amen. I want to take my stand. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be... But look, I got just as much right to believe and teach and preach. Matter of fact, I've got more right. Because I got the Bible and they don't. Amen. So I say tonight that we got to be careful. So sometimes we have unholy family, unholy friends, and on top of that, sometimes we know we got unholy foes. Anything's a foe is an unholy thing. Now let's read something else out of the Word of God. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, just the next chapter down. Amen. Isn't this interesting? It's not acceptable to a lot of people, but isn't it interesting? Amen. What the Bible says, it's not what I think or you think, it's what God says. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That tells me where ought to be some separation. Amen. We're not to hobnob with the world. We're not to be their friend. Now, let's be nice to them. Amen. I mean, witness to them. Give them the Word of God. Take your ground, stand with it. But don't hobnob with them. Amen. Let them know that you love them and make sure you do. Amen. I know how some church folks are. The old drunk down the street down there won't pay his bills, beats his wife and won't take care of his children. And the church folks say, that sorry rascal down there ain't prayed for him, won't pray for him. Hey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be that neighbor. You'd be that one tonight. But I'm glad that we can help them. Now, you're not to hobnob with them and pat them on the back in their sin, but we ought to pray for them that the Holy Ghost of God would get a hold of them. Amen. Win them to the Lord Jesus. Well, let's go to something else. Let's look in the book of Philippians. It tells us a little bit of things that we ought to practice by being a Christian. In the book of Philippians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then what? Philippians. Chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 3. Amen. And we'll look at this. Chapter 3, excuse me, verse number 13. We'll look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Here's what he says. He said, brethren. Now who's that? Done told you tonight. Have you forgot? It's church folks. It's saved people. Born again people. Verse 13 said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, to separate from this world. How am I going to do it? I'm going to forget the things in past life. I'm going to forget those things which are behind me. Amen. I get around people sometimes and some people said, well, I'm glad I'm saved. God saved an old drunk. And I've heard them get up and say, why, I could drink a gallon of this and a gallon of that and so many beers. And I thought, what in the world are you bragging about that for? Amen. I just say, God saved an old drunk and cleaned him up. Amen. I wouldn't brag. I don't think you got any bragging rights. Amen. You ought to be ashamed if you ever took one sip of alcohol. You ought to be ashamed if you ever took one sip of alcohol. Amen. I'll say it again, if I can get you livened up, but sound like you're dead tonight. You ought to be ashamed of yourself if you've ever used that stuff. All right? And you brag about it. Think about an old lifestyle. I've heard people talk about the old ugly, vain, vulgar lifestyle that they used to live, and they brag about it. Don't brag about that. He said, forgetting them things. When you get saved, you forget it. Mark it off. It's under the blood. Why bring it up tonight? Amen. The devil's going to do enough of that for you. I'll assure you. So you don't brag about what you have done. But he said, what you need to do. Amen. Press toward the mark. Anybody know what it is when you... I was raised on a farm. Well, I say raised on it. I mean, I really had a big, big lifetime in it. We moved off the farm when I was 7. Didn't I have a big career on the farm? Amen. But I remember a few things. And then I've seen a few things. They used to take the old horse when they was plowing. Daddy used to plow with an old mule. And when the corn got up pretty good, and you know, things, and he'd pull a wagon or something down the road, and he'd put blinders on that old mule so that they couldn't see to the side. What do you want him to do is look straight ahead.
And Paul said, I press toward the mark. God wants us to put some old blinders on our side. We don't want to look back and we don't even want to look to the side, but we're to look in one direction according to the Word of God. I'll give you two directions. He says, look forward, press toward the mark, and to press toward the mark is forward. And then he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and he said, lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Now that's how you're to look. You catch yourself a looking there. You catch yourself a looking back. Amen. You know what happened to Lot's wife when she looked back, don't you? If you don't know that, I believe everybody knows that, but if you don't, I won't feel bad if you ask me tonight who it is. I'm not going to tell you now, but I will tell you if you don't know. Amen. I believe everybody in here knows who it is. I just told you, didn't I? Amen. Did you catch it? Lot's wife. She looked back. I'm saying to you, I'm looking at this tonight. We're to look straight ahead. Now let's look at something else the Lord said to do in Colossians, which is the next book over. In Colossians chapter 2. I'm about done. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. The Bible said this, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now here's where we need to be. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therewith, or therein with thanksgiving. You need to be grounded and rooted in the faith. And we do that by staying with the Word of God. God teaches us to do that. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Colossians 3 verse 1 said, if ye then be risen with Christ, notice this, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he said in verse number 2, we are to, you know, to press toward the mark, but we're also to set your affection, that your love, your desires. Amen. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this, on the earth. Amen. We are to set our affection on things above. Do you believe that tonight? Now I get to loving things in heaven and above. It sure does make a big difference. And then down in verse number 8, here are some things that he tells us not to do. Verse 8 he said, but now ye also not only are to look above and set your affection, but we are to put off all these. What are we to take off? Some of us are wrapped up in it. Some of us are clothed in them. But notice this. Number 1, we take off or put off anger. Oh, God help us not to be angry. Amen. Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't get mad. I just have a righteous indignation. You know. I just kind of get disturbed a little bit. But we are looking at this. We are to put away anger. We're to put away wrath. That's getting even with somebody. Malice, and that's having something down in your heart against somebody. Blasphemy. Filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Now, we're to take off these things and put on these other things. And beloved, I believe tonight if we'll do that, it'll help us with this world situation. If you have a desire and an affinity to the world and love the things of the world, you've got a spiritual problem that needs to be dealt with tonight. We cannot be a people that God can use and trust and win people with tonight if we have all these things of the world operating and running in our life. Amen. The world has nothing to hold for me tonight. Amen. Its flashing lights have done me damage. Its pulling and drawing power has hurt me down through the years. It's done the same to you. It's drawn the church to the side. It's caused the church to operate in a different way than what the Bible teaches. That's why we are not doing the things of God. And that's why it's not that God is out of the saving business anymore. He's not. He's still in the saving business. God is just as big and great a God that can save to the uttermost as He was when He wrote that verse on the inspiration of the Scriptures. Amen? Are you with me? I'm telling you, God is not... He has not drawn down His power. He's as great a God and big a God and strong a God as He's ever been. Why don't we have people say, because we are at a place that God can't use us because we're too involved in the world and we have not separated from the things of the world. And we're loving and holding on to the world with one hand and the church with the other. And God is not happy with that. And He's not pleased with that. And I'll tell you this much, it'll take the blessing of God off your life if you are saved. Amen. I don't love the world, don't want the world, don't want no part of it. Do you tonight? One of these days I'm glad of this one thing, and I'm closing when you come to the piano now. Listen, I'm glad. I'm glad tonight that I have and got that assurance in my heart that the Lord is still on the throne. Amen. I'm glad tonight to know that He has not diminished in strength. And I'm glad that I'm not part of this world. And then I want to say this. I'm glad that one of these days I'm going to be removed. I'm moving out. I'm moving out. I'm moving on. And I'm moving up. Amen. I'm going to climb higher. I've tried to climb up as high as I could for the Lord here in this world. But one of these days, I'm going to get another step higher than where I am now. Amen. I'm going to be in glory. Amen. The world has no pull nor nudge on me. I'm glad God said this. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth will pass away. I'm glad I'm going to another world where I'll be loved. Stand, please. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Separation.